Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, and he is Wes Hodkiewicz, and we are here in the Indiana Convention Center in downtown Indianapolis because, Wes, this is where the scouting combine is going to happen. Now, it's a little quiet here right now at the moment, but over the next several days, a lot of activity, a lot of business, a lot of NFL business going on here. And for us in covering the Packers, it's going to start with hearing from head coach Mike McCarthy and new general manager Brian Gutekunst here in Indianapolis. So what are you thinking we're going to hear from those guys?
Well, here's the thing, Michael. This is the nucleus of the NFL right now. Everybody who is anybody is in Indianapolis. Agents, prospects, 332 of them. All these personnel executives and obviously head coach and their coaching staffs. Mike McCarthy, Brian Gutekunst going to be meeting with the media on Wednesday. This is an opportunity. I mean, it's interesting the way that the Packers present this self to them. I mean, they're picking 14th, and Brian Gutekunst knows the responsibility that goes along with that. It's the highest they've picked now in 9 years, really. And for them, they're trying to set forward that next step, just like they did in 2009. We talked about that in some of our recent shows, What they were able to do with B.J. Raji and trading up to get Clay Matthews. It's not to say they're going to go defense again. We'll have to see in 2 months' time exactly which direction they go. But when Mike McCarthy, Brian Gutekunst go to the podium, I'm guessing you're going to be hearing a lot about what form this defense is going to take under Mike Pettine, and also offensively how things are going to go with Aaron Rodgers coming back off that broken collarbone.
Yeah, and we'll see if we find out maybe an update on Aaron Rodgers and his status with his recovery. He obviously told us at the Super Bowl at the NFL Honors that everything's going well. He doesn't expect to have any issues there, but we'll hear what the head coach and the GM have to say. And then also, as you said, the plans now going forward, because this is an offseason unlike any other in a long time here for the Green Bay Packers, with not only the change at the top with Brian Gutekunst stepping in for Ted Thompson as general manager, sort of a new structure at the top. Maybe we'll hear from both McCarthy and Gutekunst about how that whole new structure is working with everybody reporting to Mark Murphy. And then, as you said, planning what's going to happen with this defense under the new defensive coordinator, Mike Pettine. That's what everybody's wondering about, Other than Aaron Rodgers' health, of course. But but this defense, what is his vision? What is Mike McCarthy's vision for it? What are they going to be looking for in terms of the prospects that maybe they'd like to add to the mix of the veteran players they already have?
Yeah, Mike Pettine talked to the media when he got introduced as the new defensive coordinator for about 15 minutes in total. Honestly, probably could have used about an hour to in terms of just getting a feel for who he is. His personality, we know he mentioned he has a good, funny personality, mentioning that sometimes his bedside manner, his resting face isn't always the most pleasant. But he is a player's coach, and he's a guy that I think gets the most out of his guys. If you go back and look at his track record with the New York Jets and Buffalo Bills, the one season he was with them as a defensive coordinator too. One thing that's interesting, though, when you look at the success the Jets had in those four seasons that he was DC, it's not like they drafted one specific player during those 4 years that changed everything. They had Darrell Revis. You know, Antonio Cromartie was in that mix. Obviously, you look at David Harris, I think was in the peak of his performance, and Bart Scott was in there as well. He just found the way to use those guys along with Rex Ryan and get the most out of them. Packers, I think he sees a lot of the same potential in this group. When you look at Clay Matthews coming back, the two defensive tackles and Kenny Clark and Mike Daniels, the question now becomes, as Brian Gutekunst gets ready for his first draft and the 12 picks that go along with that, what he can do, whether it's the first round, second round, third round, whenever it happens, to find the players that are going to complement what the Packers have. Because from their perspective, from Pettine's perspective, the cupboard isn't bare and there's still a lot of talent there to take advantage of.
Yeah, and you mentioned it, 12 draft picks. That's quite a few.
I mean, it's a lot.
The Packers have their one pick in every round of the seven rounds, an extra seventh round pick from the Laurenti McRae trade with the Buffalo Bills a couple of years ago, and then the four compensatory picks that were awarded to the Packers for their free agency losses. Those were just awarded last week, an extra in the fourth round, two extras at the end of the fifth round, and then another extra at the end of the sixth round. So 12 picks. We'll see if the Packers end up with 12 players or if there are trades made. Maybe there'll be some trades up or down. Who knows? Those are the kinds of questions that that Brian Gutekunst needs to answer here going forward, and we'll just have to see what he says.
Yeah, I believe it was 2006 is the last time the Packers drafted 12 players. They had, I believe, 12 picks going into the 13 draft, but Ted Thompson did some moving and shaking. Yeah. As much as we made jokes about Thompson and, you know, trades and free agency, he actually moved around quite a bit on draft day, whether it was going up to get players, Jason Spriggs being a good example of that, or moving back at times as well. So all those things, the part that I guess I'm most excited to see, though, is this is Brian Gutekunst met with the media. He had that press conference. He did the side session with reporters. It's the first time he's going to be up on that podium now, talking to the masses and trying to explain what his vision is for this thing. Ted Thompson is still in the fold. He's still in this organization. He's going to be there as a resource. But it's Brian Gutekunst's ship now, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what him and now this new personnel department that he has around him, what they look for this weekend and how that could potentially impact that draft now in 2 months' time.
Yeah, we'll see what he has to say about what it's like to be running the show and maybe what philosophies he has now heading into his first free agency as general manager and his first draft as general manager. But for now, we're going to go to a break. We'll be back with more from the NFL Scouting Combine on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford and Wes Hodkowitz coming to you from the NFL Scouting Combine in downtown Indianapolis. Now, Wes, after we hear from the Packers head coach and general manager, as we talked about in the last segment, the rest of the week and through the weekend, it will be these NFL prospects, 300-plus, as you mentioned. They will be meeting with the NFL media for the first time, you might say. There's a chance to talk to a lot of different guys here. Who are you interested in hearing from?
Well, there's a lot for a lot of different reasons. 332, that's going to happen naturally. But I think the one I want to start with, maybe not a guy necessarily that's going to jump off the board, maybe not even come off the board until the third day of the draft in April and May. That's Shaquem Griffin out of UCF. His brother, Shaquille, was a third-round pick last year, twin brother for the Seattle Seahawks. Okay. Shaquem, though, actually only has one hand. He plays with
amazing,
one hand.
Amazing story.
Yeah, as a linebacker. So obviously that creates the natural questions about being able to disengage from blocks and how that could potentially translate to the league. But if you go back and understand his story and some of the things he dealt with as a child, that's probably one of the most that's one of the guys I'm most excited to hear from, just from a personal background story. Because as you and I both know, I go back to last year, Eddie Jackson coming out of Alabama and broke his leg during his senior year, and I never anticipated we get the story that we did out of that with him talking about haha Clinton Dix and how Clinton Dix was actually the guy that showed him around campus during his first year on his visit, and is also a guy that kind of texts him, little messages of support. And then go look, lo and behold, I believe Eddie Jackson started all 16 games for the Chicago Bears secondary this year. So it shows you sometimes if it isn't even those first round picks that there are stories out there that are really going to warm some hearts. But let's be honest, people want to know about the first round. They want to know about that number 14 pick. I think Marcus Davenport out of UTSA is the guy that a lot of people have attached to the Packers just because he has really prodigious measurables. 6'6", just a hair under 6'6", 255 pounds. A guy that actually arrived on that campus, it looked like he was going to be a receiver, ends up gradually putting on weight. I think it was 30 pounds his last season, develops into a really dynamic pass rusher. A raw prospect coming from a conference where, you don't really know competition-wise what you're getting, but considering the way he played against Texas A&M last year, a sack and a half, he showed he can play against the top-level talent, and I think that's going to be one guy that'll be very interesting to watch.
Yeah, Davenport is a guy who's been attached to the Packers in a lot of mock drafts. You see that all over the internet, the number 14 pick at Texas San Antonio. He's kind of the guy that is there. Now, you mentioned Griffin before. That's a guy who's, sort of got that nonstop motor, that mentality. A guy like Davenport, he's the one who's getting that label of the physical freak, because of all, as you said, all of those measurables, everything.
And I'm excited to see how he tests.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun to
watch.
Exactly.
We'll see what the numbers are here when the lights are a little bright here with all the other prospects. And, you wonder, okay, is that a guy that Mike Pettine would be interested in fitting him in as a potential edge rusher with Clay Matthews?
Because he fits the elephant mold, if you go back to that.
Right, exactly. And from a size standpoint, he is somewhat reminiscent of Julius Peppers. Right. Now, there's only one Julius Peppers in the world, but you wonder about a guy like Marcus Davenport and how he would fit in. Another guy I'm curious about who's also been tied to the Packers in a lot of mock drafts that you see out there is cornerback Josh Jackson out of Iowa. You wonder what level of interest the Packers might have in a pick like that. You drafted Kevin King with your first pick last year at the top of the second round after trading back. You've also got Demarius Randall now entering his fourth year, coming off a strong finish to his third season. you know, cornerback, we know that, Wes. You never have enough of those guys, just like you never have enough pass rushers either. I mean, this draft, with all the picks the Packers have, you really hope to not only find impact players, but fortify the depth and fortify the roster, because you never know when injuries are going to hit, all of those kinds of things. That's what these next several days are about for the Packers, their scouting staff, the coaching staff, to really try to build and finalize that draft board after they get back to Green Bay and have all this extra information.
Yeah, and Jackson's a guy who could potentially, I'm saying this 2 months ahead of time, he could potentially be there at 14, depending on how all the testing goes out. Obviously, I wouldn't label him as the top guy, but he's a guy that could make sense based on his style, his height. I believe he's just a shade under 6'1". The big question with him is the fact he really only played 1 year at Iowa, and then he declared as a junior one of the league leader, or one of the nation leaders, with 8 interceptions, very dynamic football player. But then the question becomes, exactly when you're projecting these guys, Packers had to do a lot of projection in 2015 with Demaryius Randall and Quentin Rollins, based on the fact that Rollins was a former basketball player,
right,
and Randall had been a safety. There's always going to be an element to that, but if you see the natural talent and ability, that's probably going to be the biggest indicator if they can really find a way to get in this defense. For me, again, not saying they're going to look at defense, we'll have to wait and see, but they haven't had a chance to take a cornerback or an outside linebacker this high really since going back to, I guess it would be Clay Matthews, cornerback-wise, I can't even recall.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they did find Nick Perry. They found HaHa Clinton Dix, Demaryius Randall. But having a chance at 14 to potentially find one of those players or whoever else might be available is going to be a really interesting opportunity.
Yeah, when you start to wonder, and as you said, it's 2 months out, but when you start to wonder and project who might be there at 14, the question is, comes down to the quarterback position.
Right.
Because if there's one position that's overdrafted more than any other because of its importance, it's quarterback. There's talk of 3 or 4 quarterbacks maybe being drafted in the top half of the first round. That could push some other potential top 10, top 12 players down to the Packers at 14. So that's another thing that, again, as we get closer to the draft, we might get a little bit more of a sense of what's going on with the quarterback position at the top. But that's something that you factor in here when you start thinking about maybe who will be there at 14 for Green Bay, assuming the new GM stays at 14.
Yeah, and there's a lot of teams that are going to be in the market for quarterbacks in this draft. Yeah. Sam Darnold, Josh Allen. I mean, the list goes on in terms of the prospects that could be there. I believe it was Josh Rosen as well from UCLA.
Sure, yeah.
That's had as much success as he had. Could somebody want to go up there and get him? That's also another thing to track, but it's all part of the process, and I'm sure it's one other thing that Brian Gutekunst will be paying attention to as you go through this.
Yeah, and with that, we will go to a break. Back with more from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford and Wes Hodkowitz at the Indiana Convention Center in downtown Indy, the NFL Scouting Combine. And Wes, we were talking about players that have been tied to the Packers in some mock drafts. Another guy the fans really have their eye on is the tight end out of Wisconsin,
yeah,
Troy Fumagalli. Not only because, obviously, he's a Wisconsin Badger, the fans really like those homegrown red and white players, but tight end is a position that, you know, the Packers are looking at to try to rebuild, potentially refortify a little bit here. And Packers fans wondering if Troy Fumagalli is maybe on Green Bay's radar.
There's two reasons why I think he could potentially make sense. And the main one is the Packers, if you go back traditionally, do not invest a first-round pick into the tight end position. You have to go back to Bubba Franks the last time they did it. The highest pick that Ted Thompson ever used on the position, I believe, was JerMichael Finley, which might have been 91. So they
third round. Yep.
So they try to find guys, at least under Ted Thompson administration, try to find guys in the middle rounds that could potentially make sense. Fumagalli might be one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that did help himself, I thought, at the Senior Bowl. Then you also see exactly what he's done since then in terms of the build up to this thing. And I know there are some questions. I know the hand thing comes up every once in a while, but he was really dynamic, and he seems rather well-rounded for a prospect coming out. I think the one thing you have to keep in mind with tight ends, it is such a tough position to just jump in and absolutely make a massive impact the first year.
That's what
It's usually a position where you're going to need 2 or 3 years to develop. That's why I've said before on this show, I think it makes a lot of sense for the Packers. You have Lance Kendricks, you potentially bring back Richard Rodgers, or you sign a free agent, and then you look for someone maybe like Fumagalli Ogbonnadale in the draft, which I think has a lot of upside and has time to develop in the system.
Yeah, and I will say this about Fumagalli as well. Now, he's not being touted as a first-round pick or anything
right.
like that, but he's also not one of these college tight ends coming from a spread offense.
Right.
So you wonder if maybe, as you say, the learning curve, the transition period for college tight ends now has gotten a little bit longer because of the proliferation of spread offenses in college, but he's not a guy who's coming from one of those. So you wonder about that. A couple of other guys, Wisconsin Badgers, there are six of them here at the Combine altogether. Surprisingly, no offensive linemen, though,
yeah.
which is almost unheard of, with the Wisconsin Badgers almost always are putting offensive linemen into the NFL every year. It just so happens that their entire offensive line is going to come back
right.
for next season. But a couple of other guys, linebacker Jack Cicci, missed his final college season due to an injury. Very unfortunate, obviously, that that happened. But we've seen T.J. Watt, Vince Beagle, guys, linebackers for the Wisconsin Badgers recently coming out of the program. And then also cornerback Nick Nelson, another guy. He also a factor on special teams, was a return
right.
man for Wisconsin as well. So what are your thoughts, I guess, at this point on those Wisconsin Badgers?
I'm really interested to hear Cicci talk because, you know, you heard so much about it, the questions of whether or not he tried to go for that sixth season of eligibility.
Right.
I thought he did a very mature decision and being like, you know what? I'm going to put my best foot forward. We're going to look towards the next level and see if I can find a way to really help my cause. You can go through every different scenario in terms of would he. I've never been able to figure out whether or not what the NCAA's policy is in terms of why they potentially let people have the sixth year and why
right.
they don't,
yeah.
Regardless of whether it's football or any other sport. So for him, he looks towards that next step now. A lot of teams are going to be asking, where is the knee at? Where is his health at?
Right.
And if he's going to be, you know, potentially looking at some still this recovery going into the off season, they're going to have their doctors looking at it. But I think the thing I'm looking forward to the most from Cicci is just seeing where his mindset is at after what you have to imagine has been a really long year to get to this point.
Yeah, you have to realize that I'm sure he's maybe as anxious as anyone to get here, assuming that he's healthy, and we don't know exactly where he is in his recovery. But you know he wants to do something, do some sort of drills out there and show the NFL scouts and the coaches and all the personnel people that are here that, yes, you can draft me. You can take me
yes.
in this draft. I'm not going to be this big medical risk. I'm just getting over this one injury.
Yeah, I think that's a great point you bring up, Mike. I remember talking to Mike Daniels about this about 3-4 years ago. You remember he had the torn labrum when he was coming out of
shoulder
Iowa.
Shoulder surgery, yeah.
Shoulder surgery. As he said, sometimes that seems like a rite of passage almost for defensive linemen and linemen for the Hawkeyes. But his thing is he came to the combine. He wasn't able to do much. But every team he got in front of, he tried to sell himself and tell them exactly what kind of football player they can expect when he is healthy. The Green Bay Packers end up getting him in the fourth round, turned out to be one of Ted Thompson's best draft picks, probably an easy top 10 for him. So that's the same thing that I think Cicci's going to have to do. He's going to have to sell himself and really also see potentially what this timeline is like. Is there going to be a pro day? Is there other workouts he's going to be able to do and potentially have that opportunity to really showcase his talents?
All right. With that, we will go to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted from the NFL Scouting Combine right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford and Wes Hodkiewicz at the NFL Scouting Combine in downtown Indy. Wes, we're going to be here through the rest of the week and through the weekend. A lot of activity going on, as you said at the top of the show, kind of a who's who of the NFL. Everybody is here. Several days here of action, of coverage, everything that's going on. What's your favorite part of this whole event?
Well, other than getting gasoline spilt on myself on the way over here, my favorite part always is seeing just the faces around the building. I mean, you look at the National Football League, how spread out this thing is. It's an international, it's a worldwide game now, and you have the smartest football people in one city at one time. I mean, when you and I were checking in today, Ron Rivera was right there
yeah.
alongside us. So they're all the same people. And just seeing, you know, exactly how people interact with one another and prospects. I mean, one of the things I always go back to, I remember last year we were doing one of our periscopes right up there on the catwalk. And right by that, there was a prospect. I don't exactly remember who it was, but there was a prospect and his athletic trainer putting tape down, practicing the 40 in the hallways before they go out and hit the field.
Yeah.
You really forget how pressure-packed this is for a lot of prospects. There are so many emotions going into this. There's months of preparation. Guys finish their college season. They go right into the draft prep. And now this is where a lot of it, it's not all of it, but it's where a lot of it, you know, comes to fruition for them.
Yeah, it's always interesting for me because you see faces that you recognize and then you try to place them because you're like, wait a minute, who was that? And in fact, during our last commercial break, the Packers director of sports medicine, Pepper Burris, happened to walk by right behind us. And so unfortunately, you missed that one because the camera wasn't on at the moment. But here's the interesting thing for me about the Combine, Wes, and I've said this before. The media coverage of the Combine is actually not allowed access to really what are the most important parts of this from the NFL team's perspective, and that's the medical checkups,
right,
as I just mentioned, Pepper Burris, and the interviews, the one-on-one interviews. So a lot of the other stuff, not to say the workouts don't matter and all of that, but really for the NFL teams, the medical checks and the interviews are really what probably carry the most weight from this event. Now, that being said, there's a lot of news that comes out of here because there are guys who will run a blazing 40 that nobody expected, and then other guys who are projected as a first-round pick, and then they don't test very well, and then everybody wonders, well, are they really a first-round pick or not? Yeah, you just have to kind of sift through it all. And as I said before, all these NFL teams will take all this information from the combine combined with everything that they got through the fall, scouting all these players on their college campuses. It all sort of puts together a puzzle, you know,
right,
a pie chart, you might say, with regards to all these prospects. And then they figure out their draft boards. They spend the next couple of months then finalizing that so that when the end of April rolls around, they've done all their homework and everything's ready, and then it's a matter of making the decisions when you're on the clock.
Yeah, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe it is 60 interviews they get as far as the formal.
The formal interviews, yes. You can request up to 60, and most teams use all 60.
Yeah, and it is interesting because sometimes guys get taken. The Packers never talk to them. We hear that all the time. Clinton Dix wasn't one of those guys. I think it was also Aaron Jones that sat down with the Packers last year.
Yeah.
And I remember, I believe, correct me again if I'm wrong, but Ben Sermons was the coach that was talking about how impressed he was. Coming out of that small interaction, these are only 5, 6, sometimes 10-minute interviews. It's very quick. There's a lot of guys to get to. And then also seeing the guys pick up their media credential. So when the media is asking exactly when they're meeting with which teams is always kind of funny to watch, too, trying to pick through all that.
But there are teams that try to disguise their intentions. They won't necessarily talk to some of the guys they're most interested in because they don't want all the other teams to know that this guy's on their list and all that. So it's always interesting how much subterfuge there is going on
here. Yeah, the Ted Thompson handbook for that, for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. But with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the Packers and the Combine on Packers.com, and we will be with you all the rest of this week on Spectrum Sports with Packers Unscripted. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.